Division 4 is not where Sligo, or I suppose not where any county want to find themselves, but you know, particularly a county like Sligo with such a proud football tradition, you know, in recent history as well. You know, it's not that long ago that Sligo were competing in higher divisions, competing well in the Connacht Championship. So definitely Division 4 is one that Sligo will be hoping to emerge from this year. One thing to take note of is that it probably is complicated a little bit this year by the strength of the teams who were relegated from Division 3 last year. And, you know, it's probably an anomaly that you have two teams who were provincial champions at the time in Cavan and Tipperary being relegated from Division 3. And it probably the shortened season last year and the split structure of the league divisions last season probably fed into that. You know, they were caught out in playoff games, which has seen them relegated. So you have strong teams like Cavan and Tipperary down there, you know, which will be a big challenge for Sligo. But Sligo should definitely have the quality to be putting themselves in a position to finish in the top two of Division 4 and get back up to Division 3 and start kicking forward again.
And in there too, you have Wexford, who Sligo will start against next Sunday. They probably feel they shouldn't be in Division 4 within the county. You've got a rejuvenated Leitrim, their new manager, Andy Mourne. It's hard to see where there are banker 2 points in Division 4 anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, there's no bankers there. And you know, that's probably a testament to the preparation that's going on in many of these counties. I know, you know, people will talk to the huge disparity in standards between, you know, maybe your Dublins, your Mayos, your Galways, Tyrones, Donegals, and, you know, Kerry, and probably the rest of the counties. But I think, you know, once you go outside those, you know, there's probably 6-7 counties, you know, at the very top of the game. But once you go outside of that, I think the gaps start to get very small. And you know, every team now is putting in the work, and every team is at a decent level, you know, athletically, fitness wise, skills wise. It's not like, you know, maybe some time back where the work was not going on in some counties. But yeah, Division 4 is yeah, it's probably particularly exciting this year. You know, I know from talking to some people in Leitrim, you know, huge excitement among the players. You know, they've been really encouraged by Andy Moran coming in, and you know, some of what he's brought to their training and preparation so far already. So you know, they're going to be an interesting prospect to see how that develops during the year. Obviously, Andy, huge experience from a playing perspective at the top level of the game with Mayo, and obviously James Horan has done an incredible job in Mayo, and Andy would have learned a great deal from him, and also some of the, you know, really exciting people they've had working their background teams over the year. You know, he would have worked, I suppose, with your Keane O'Neills, Ed Coughlin's, Donny Buckley's, obviously he would have worked with Tony McAtee, current Sligo manager as well, when Tony had his spell in Mayo. So you know, that's going to be really interesting for Leitrim to see what Andy can bring. And you know, there was even that little bit of enthusiasm. I think we've seen the Leitrim County final was televised last year. You know, there was a lot of good press out of that. So you know, Leitrim should be on a little bit of a high coming into this. Yeah, you have Wexford. That's, you know, obviously that's an away trip for Sligo. That's going to be an incredibly tough game. I think, again, Wexford are one of these counties, if they can get their best players on the field, be that due to dual commitments or other reasons, you know, they're capable of operating at a level that's ahead of Division 4. You have Carlo there, Niall Carew, obviously know the Sligo football scene inside out. Cavan and Tipperary, very tough games. London, you really don't know what they're going to bring year to year. And again, probably complicated a little bit by the COVID situation. You know, is there, or, you know, they probably haven't had the same opportunity. I know they didn't get the field last year, the same opportunity to get lads together over the last few seasons. And, you know, is there maybe less players available in London at the minute than there would have been, you know, maybe even 2 or 3 years ago. And then there's an away trip to Waterford as well. You know, obviously, the last time Sligo faced Waterford was a home game at Markridge Park. Sligo, unfortunately, came out the wrong side of that. So that's not a gimme by any means. So, yeah, you know, a very tough division. But I think Division 4 is also a division where momentum can be hugely important. So, you know, if you can get an early... maybe, you know, get two early wins there, you know, you're really in a strong position to kind of push for 10 points. And 10 points, I think, especially given that teams are so even in division at the minute, I think, you know, 10 points should see you promoted.
When you were playing with Sligo, Neil, if you lost or slipped up in an early league game, did that bring heavy pressure on the side if you felt you lost early ground to try and find that momentum in the division became particularly hard then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing with the league in GAA, Austin, and, you know, it's probably a little bit of an anomaly, but, you know, we think of a league and we think, you know, that's a true reflection of the form of a team. But, you know, you look at the Premier League in England, you play 38 games. So I think, you know, things do even themselves out over the course of 38 games. You know, your position in the table is probably an accurate reflection of where you're at. But, you know, really, in GAA, the National Football League, it's a mini championship. I think, you know, you can probably only afford to lose two of your seven games if you want to have any chance of getting promoted. And yeah, if you lose one early game, you really have no room to slip up after that, or you know, the game is up for you. And even the way those fixtures fall, you know, you kind of, you know, maybe a bye weekend after a defeat or a bye weekend after a win, and it's maybe just not what you want at the time. You might prefer to go straight into another game there. So yeah, getting that momentum can be very tricky if there's an early defeat. And you know, players and a group, it's and you know, I think even the time of the year, the weather conditions at the time of the year can even feed into it. You know, if you've had just come out the wrong side of a tricky result on a Sunday and you have to face into maybe, you know, travelling up to the Midlands for training on a Tuesday or Wednesday night and you're looking at snow and hailstones, the mood in a group can fall quite quickly, you know, whereas if you flip that and you maybe just come out the right side of a 1-point win on a Sunday, you know, lads are bouncing into training that week, you know, maybe lads that didn't get game time at the weekend want to be part of a winning team, you know, there's an extra push from them, versus maybe if the team has been defeated, the lads that weren't in the team know that there's probably a chance there's going to be changes to the team anyway, so they don't really have to kick on in training. And I'm not saying these are conscious decisions by players, but I think it's just human nature, you know, that feel good factor from coming out the right side of a tight game, you know, has huge benefits at this time of the year. And you know, keeping enthusiasm and energy really high among the group.
Two things I want to ask you about Sligo's preparation for this league campaign. They had two good workouts indoors in the Connaught FBD. There was lovely novelty value about playing on the Astro pitch in Bacon earlier this month. I suppose that's going to be a far cry from an outdoor heavy pitch against Wexford on the opening day of the league next Sunday. Now, I gather Sligo played a challenge match against Antrim yesterday. They were beaten, but that was an outdoor game. That's one point. The second, we saw in the FBD that how valuable players like Niall Murphy and Pat Hughes clearly are to Sligo as an attacking threat. Would there be a danger that maybe there might be an over-reliance on those sort of, in inverted commas, marquee players?
Yeah, I suppose firstly, Austin, on getting to play in the Dome and the conditions there, I think it's only a positive in that, you know, for Tony and his management team, it's an opportunity to get an accurate baseline of where players are at in a situation where conditions aren't a major player. I think, you know, sometimes you see guys getting a chance in maybe FBD games, and maybe some players may get to play a half of an FBD game and they're playing into a gale force wind and the team are under pressure, or vice versa, they're playing, you know, with the elements, and you don't maybe get a true picture of where a player is entirely at in a situation like that. But if you're playing in, you know, really controlled conditions, as you have there in the Dome in Bacon, like, you know, you really know where a player is at fitness wise, skill levels, you know, everything's exposed, and, you know, everybody's operating off the same conditions there. So, you know, for Tony and the management team, great opportunity to get those two games there. I've no doubt the guys are training away. I think anybody who's ever been to Scarden on a January night knows that more than likely you're going to get conditions there that will prepare you for the worst of what you'll get, you know, across the country during January and February. So I wouldn't be worried on that. I think, you know, the two games are a good opportunity to play, high pace, perfect conditions. But, you know, you have to remember the lads are training probably three times a week in the muck, and the muck and the rain and the wind as well. So they'll be well conditioned for that. In terms of Niall Murphy and Pat Hughes, well, I suppose firstly on Pat Hughes, it's really encouraging to see Pat, back in the team and back available. He struggled a little bit with injury probably over the last two seasons, but, you know, I think everybody in Sligo knows what Pat Hughes is capable of when he's at full fitness and not held back by any injuries. And, you know, he'll be like a new player coming into that group as well. And it's not, I suppose, not only what Pat will bring as a focal point in that attack, you know, obviously he's somebody who's hard handled for any fullback in terms of his aerial ability, his strength. You know, it gives Sligo the option of maybe, you know, varying their game a little bit. But Pat will also bring a lot off the pitch as well. You know, he's seen a lot over the years, and, you know, he can be a calming influence, around the group, and just a good steady hand to have among the playing squad. Niall, you know, absolutely outstanding footballer. You know, probably has all the skills. All the skills in the game, you know, two-sided, excellent score taker, you know, even has that aerial ability as well. You know, we're probably blessed in Sligo to have a footballer like Niall that we can go and enjoy watching, and, you know, hugely exciting to see what he can do, do now this year, you know, with, as we get back to a proper run of games. You know, obviously COVID interrupted the last 2 years. It probably hasn't been the same flow. So, you know, I think Niall and all the players will be really excited about having these seven games ahead of them to really show where they're at, and, you know, build up a bit of momentum as a team, but also individually in terms of their own performances. Over-reliance, I don't think so. I think you look at any county, and, you know, they're going to have, you know, two or three big score getters up front, and a few things feed into that. Obviously, you're going to have one of your free takers now. It's obviously a free taker there for Sligo, and you know, so you're going to have a big score taker there. But, you know, every county has those one or two players, and that's just even the way the team's set up at the minute. You know, you're not going to have four heavily scoring forwards, because you probably need guys to be doing other jobs around the pitch. But I think that, you know, there's a huge opportunity there as well to see, you know, the likes of Alan Riley from Curry. He's somebody I'm hugely excited about seeing this year. I think he has all the attributes that's needed in the modern game. You know, very, very athletic, can get up and down the pitch, well able to kick a score. And I think, you know, when Alan gets it in, and, you know, hopefully he's had a good chance to get exposed to some of the strength and conditioning work over the last number of months, and he's the type of guy, he has that frame, I think he could respond really well to that type of training. I think he could be a very exciting player for Sligo as the year goes on. And then you also have, obviously, some of the other guys who've been around, over the years as well, like, you know, Paddy O'Connor. You know, Paddy's really very skillful, probably just needs to nail down a position and, you know, say, this is the footballer I'm going to be and this is where I'm going to operate. And, you know, I think he could be one of the best players in the country once he does that. And then, you know, there's a few guys then, the likes of, Brian Egan, David Quinn, you know, they're well able to get a few scores as well as doing other jobs around the pitch. So it's I don't think we're going to suffer with an over-reliance And that's relative to other teams. You know, as I said, everybody has those important forwards. So it's Sligo are no different. And, you know, if Niall or Pat were not available, somebody else is going to move into that position. I think they can be, equally as... as potent on the scoring front as Niall and Pat.
What would represent, finally, Neil, a good National League for Sligo? Is it as black and white as promotion?
I don't think anything's ever just black and white. There's nuance to everything in life, but, you know, I think from the player's perspective, yes, they'll want promotion. Anything less than that will be a disappointment, as it should be. And, you know, as management team, I'm sure Tony and the guys, that they'll want to see individuals develop and a pattern develop as they kind of build towards championship. Again, they'll want that tangible reward of promotion, though. And, you know, as a county and as supporters in the county, that should be our hope too, to see the guys get promoted. Obviously, you know, it can come down to fine lines. I mentioned there the National League is more, with just your seven games, is more like a mini championship than a league per se. But there can be a result or two that'll go against you. But, you know, Sligo need to be competing for promotion for sure.